Hi, I'm Rob Richards. I work for Bread and Roses. I was asked by Marco, thank you for inviting me. Thank you everybody for coming. I was asked to come tonight to talk about the needs of the poor and homeless. Well, that's kind of like asking Jacques Cousteau to describe the ocean. You know, where do you start? The needs are great. Every single person in every single homeless advocate is going to give you a laundry list of needs. At the top of that's probably going to be money every time. We all need money. Also on the list would probably be close partnerships within the advocacy community. We don't work together enough to serve people, to help people transition, youth transition to adulthood, that kind of thing. I think it's important for tonight's purposes to look at needs on two levels, the first being a big picture view of what is needed. I'd like to start by reading a few statistics. In 1978, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, had an annual budget of $83 billion. In 1983, HUD's budget had been cut to $18 billion. From 1976 to 1982, that's 6 years, HUD built 755,000 public housing units at an average of 125,833 per year. Since 1983, 23 years, HUD has built only 256,000 new units at an average of 11,130 per year. Since 1996, HUD funding for new public housing units has been $0. During that same period, over 100,000 public housing units have been lost to demolition, sale, or removal in that same period. Since 2001, HUD public housing operating expense funding has been slashed by $1 billion. In 2004, 61% of all federal housing subsidies went to households earning over $54,788, while only 27% of those subsidies went to households earning under $34,398. The current federal budget proposes to spend almost $2.6 billion on a single submarine. That's more than twice what it spent on all 2005 HUD-McKinney homeless assistance. What these numbers say to me is that there is a direct and undeniable link between homelessness and the availability of affordable housing. Some of these cuts, I believe, are directly responsible for the homelessness epidemic that our nation is facing today. In 5 years, in the late 70s and early 80s, $65 billion was taken away from HUD. Since 1996, nothing has been spent on new public housing units, regardless of the fact that today, over 27 million Americans are without a home. As more and more people move closer to poverty, the number of homeless will only continue to increase. Yet even as it has been increasing over the past two decades, the government continues to take money from programs that would solve the problems. The bottom line is this: if there isn't affordable housing available, your bootstraps can only take you so far. What can we do? We can write letters, send emails, make phone calls, put pressure on politicians at every level to restore funding to housing programs or create new funding for housing programs. There are programs spreading across the country right now that take people off of the streets and put them in housing, no strings attached, no questions asked. They have nearly a 90% retention rate, meaning that people are successfully transitioning from street life to house life. This is done through a partnership between the public and private sector, government grants, private grants, agreements with local landlords, service providers, etc. It works, and it costs less than what we're doing now. Homelessness is not the city of Olympia's problem. It's not the state of Washington's problem. It's not the president's problem. It's everybody's problem, and we can solve it together. This leads us into the second way I want folks to think about what homeless people need. I'm going to start by talking a little bit about what I do every day. I work at Bread and Roses. My friend Mike Holzinger and I operate an advocacy center for homeless people. In a nutshell, we work side by side with folks who are trying to navigate social service systems, looking for work, shelter, housing, the list goes on. The important thing is really not what we do, but how we do it. We seek to empower people by building strong relationships with them and by including them in our little community. Every day we celebrate success, mourn loss, rage at injustice, and we do it together because we have realized that no matter what, good or bad, we are all in it together. We recently had a public hearing regarding some amendments to a sidewalk ordinance that would target and affect the lives of homeless people. There were a number of folks from the street in attendance, and quite a few spoke. The common thread in all of their speeches is that they are desperately wanting to be a part of the community. They want to give back to the community. The amendments to the ordinances would literally and figuratively brush them aside and send them a message that their contribution is not wanted. This is not what we need. We do not need more laws that will not house people or make them respect and take ownership of their city. We need community. We need acceptance. Most importantly, we need to look past appearances, look past the behavior of a very small minority of the total population, and see one another as people. People need people. The homeless people of Olympia need you, each and every one of you, to simply accept them, and look them in the eye. I'd like to close with a quotation from a speech given by Eugene Debs in 1908. "Now, my friends, I am opposed to the system of society in which we live today, not because I lack the natural equipment to do for myself, but because I am not satisfied to make myself comfortable knowing that there are thousands of my fellow men who suffer for the barest necessities of life. We are taught under the old ethic that man's business on this earth was to look out for himself. That was the ethic of the jungle, the ethic of the wild beast. Take care of yourself, no matter what may become of your fellow man. Thousands of years ago, the question was asked, am I my brother's keeper? That question has never yet been answered in a way that is satisfactory to civilized society. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. I am under a moral obligation to him that is inspired not by any maudlin sentimentality, but by the higher duty I owe myself. What would you think of me if I were capable of seating myself at a table and gorging myself with food and saw about me the children of my fellow beings starving to death?" Thank you.
You don't need a microphone, dude.